Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. The witching hour has dawned from the darkness. It's time to get comfortable in your coffins and make sure you drink deeply from veins rich in caffeine. For you are about to join Stalina and Arcana on a roller coaster ride, delving into the depths of darkness. You'll find us waiting for you inside the shadows, ready to pounce on the poetry of the night in a gothic waltz of ghostly celebration to all things that hail from the darker side of life and death.
Here you will find sanctuary, our dark denizens, a place where you can unleash your inner demons and let loose the hounds of hell upon those that flee from our shade. We will escort you through the night till just before break of dawn, when daylight will incinerate my co-host Arcana to ash, and I will ride my broomstick back to my cottage in the woods to await the arrival of Hansel and Gretel.
Now, without further ado, let the darkness descend. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're all ready for an evening of dark poetry. Hi to Hello. Everyone in the room.
Hello,
Are
can you
there?
Hear me?
Is there I'm anyone here. There?
Can you hear me?
Good evening, Stalina. How are you today?
Oh, thank God you can hear me. sorry, I'm fine, thank you. How's everybody? Hello?
Who else do we have with us? Is there anybody there?
Are you all on mute, everybody?
Have you got a spirit board there, Stalina? I think we may need
to
call
get my
off.
Ouija, but my Ouija board out. I could feel. There we go.
Yes. No. Hello. Sorry about that. I have myself on mute. And just to let you know that usually at the beginning of the show, I will have people on mute until you tell me you're ready for them to be brought on.
Okay. So. We're rookies. We're rookies.
So
here we go.
Ready.
Learning curve. It's a learning curve. Okay.
Absolutely.
Who do we have with us this evening? Who's in the room with us?
Well, let's see. Let's bring your guests on one at a time. First of all, you have Weaver of Dreams, a.k.a. Kate.
Good evening, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Good morning, people. Great to be here.
How's my wee lassie?
Oh, she's
Thanks
bonny.
For joining
Thank
us.
You very much. Bonny as ever. Oh, dear. Or is that bony as ever?
Well, it's good for this show, bony.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, true. Okay. Who else do we have there then?
You have Laurent.
Ah, bonsoir, Laurent.
Hi there, Laurent.
Bonsoir, les deux. Bonsoir, les deux. Enchanté.
Ça va, Laurent?
Oui, ça va bien. Et toi?
Glad to have you with us, Laurent.
Glad to be here.
Mr. Buttery
and
voice,
last?
Yes, it was.
And last but not least, you have Rex. So welcome to all of you.
King Rex.
I just knew you wouldn't be able to resist Rex.
No, can't resist this, can you, Rex? No.
Good evening, everybody.
How are you doing, Rex?
Evening.
Are you feeling better, my dear?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Great. That's very good. Right.
Glad to hear it. So, okay, I think we're all set and ready for an evening of dark poetry. So without further ado, Stalina, would you like to put up the first poem on the board for us, please?
There we go. The first poem is by Daniel Duaim. And I don't know, who's going to start off the reading? Okay, now.
Okay. Lauren,
we've got our pick here.
Would you like to lead the way for us, please?
I'll be happy to. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is called Golden Box of Precious Metal. Precious golden gleaming puzzle box, drawing you near to its power of influence, possessed of hypnotic influence. Once opened, a black fog descends, covering everything in darkness, releasing an army of hell-bound creatures, ready to peel your skin from head to toe, wear it like a trophy as your sinews lie bare. In the depths of no return, as you slowly get eaten by the demons of the underworld, first your legs are fried apart like drumsticks, basted in a vat of dark oil. When your arms are pulled apart and cooked in the fires of the damned, until the meat tenderizes like spare ribs. And the head is fisted off and slowly roasted like a swine, and eaten like jello with a spoon amongst this torture. Cries of anguish echo inside the abysmal darkness, but go unheeded by the sky above the hellish place of damnation.
And fantastic read. Thank you for that, Lauren. That was superb. Okay, comment-wise, Weaver, would you like to tell us what your thoughts are, please?
Well, this told me all about what was going on, which I've not actually seen any of the films, so this was very, very helpful. I liked it so much. But it was dark. I mean, we're talking dark. But I thought it was just, it was so good. So, I have to say, I did like, then the head is twisted off and slowly roasted like a swine's and eaten like jello with a spoon. Oh, I want strawberry jello now. It was oh my goodness. Yes. I thought
that hit hard.
I can't help it. I've got that weird mind. Just, and I'll stop saying what I'm thinking in future perhaps. It was wonderful. I thought it was very clever and I really enjoyed it. If enjoyed is the right word for this. Wonderful.
Great comment, Weaver. Thanks for that. And Pam, what were your thoughts, please?
Oh, I enjoyed this. The visceral imagery, the way he didn't hold back. You know, there is just something about using jello in a dark light because it represents all the squishiness inside the human body and the fact that gelatin is made from boiled bones. So I thought that was a particularly clever part. And I also like the darkness in the first your legs are pried apart like drumsticks and basted in a vat of dark oil. Oh, man, that is just creepy, awesome darkness. So very well done.
Great observations there, Pam. Thanks for that. And Stelina, what were your thoughts, please?
Okay, I have to get off mute because I've got about 10 pages open. So can you
only
hear
10?
Me? Okay? Yeah, only 10, yeah. Five fewer than normal. Yeah, I mean, Daniel is an excellent writer, whatever he decides to write. And he really wanted to dig deep for his darkness, as he told me. So I really thought that he did a wonderful job here. It was, as Pam said, very visceral write, a very gruesome read of the horror genre. And he really draws the reader into the dark traumas which were inflicted on those who ventured to open the box and let loose these creatures from the bowels of hell. So, you know, a wonderful write and a beautiful read, of course, from Laurent. Bravo to both of them. And well done, Dan. Great work, indeed.
Great comments, Delina. And Rex, your thoughts, please.
Well, the first half is a very good lead-in, but it's the second that really sings, first your legs are pried apart like drumsticks and basted in a vat of oil. Then your arms are pulled apart and cooked in the fires of the dam until the meat tenderizes like spare ribs. Then the head is twisted off and slowly roasted like a swine's head cheese, anyone?
So not a squirrel, Rex. Not a squirrel. Frequently.
And Laurent, you read it. What were your thoughts?
Well, I like the use of the black fog initially, descending, covering everything in darkness, releasing an army of hellbound creatures, because almost anything can come out of a black fog, and does, quite swiftly. And there's an absolutely delightful line, in the depths of no return. I assume it's supposed to be depths, ended up being deaths, and that almost works better. Either way, it's a brilliant little line, in the depths of no return. And, of course, he uses some rather graphic language to charm the reader with a visions like strawberry jello, thank you, Katie, which really add a lot of verisimilitude to this dark, dark piece.
That's great. Great commenting there, Laurent. Thank you. Okay, I think there's some great dark imagery in these lines. I like the way it captures the allure of the puzzle box with a kind of hypnotic draw to solve the puzzle, thus unleashing the Cenobites to pursue their diabolical agenda. Once opened, a black fog descends, covering everything in darkness, releasing an army of hellbound creatures, ready to peel your skin from head to toe and wear it like a trophy as your sinews lie bare. Great visceral descriptions there. And then it goes on to liken the resulting aftermath to a freakish feast where the protagonist is consumed like a McDonald's from hell. First, your legs are pried apart like drumsticks and basted in a vat of dark oil. Great imagery there. And eaten like jello with a spoon amongst this torture, cries of anguish echo inside the abysmal darkness. Mmm, tasty. Great writing, Daniel. Which reminds me, does anyone know what's red and bad for your teeth?
No? And what?
Does anyone know what's red and bad for your teeth?
Nope.
A brick.
We're all waiting with bated breath here. Come on.
I just told you, it's a brick.
Oh.
Okay, let's move on.
A joke was a brick.
Yeah, it was. It fell to the depths, that one did, didn't it?
Yeah, you've got to think of some better jokes than this. Come on.
Yeah, no, it's just
the Christmas cracker stuff.
It was all the talk of Jell-O that did it, you know. But anyway, we move on. So what have we got next, Stelina?
Right, so the next one up is by Alastair Hugh Muir, and it's called Lament.
Excellent. Okay. Rex, would you like to read this one for us, please?
Sure. Lament by Alastair Hugh Muir. A scene from darkness spread before the eyes of those who heard a call. What monster spilled such blood on floor without a corpse within the hall? Intriguing box may promise more, yet locked it forced the hunt to stall. Lament configuration gleams, but hell awaits, not sweetest dreams. Police withdraw, save one who knows, descendant from the first to try the promise of sweet pain had chose, a man obsessed by such a lie. For suffering awaits and shows Our father body bleeds not die. She sits upon the floor with cube. Excitement shines from orbs exude. A click surprises, shaking starts, then cracks appear on walls of heat. At first the figure fear imparts, all leather clad he takes a seat. Then Pinhead smiles as Pearl departs, but Cenobites prove her defeat. Now dragged through walls to meet her pain, the hooks and screams think sad refrain. And poem.
Brilliant read there, Rex. Thanks for that. Wonderful. Okay, and Stelina, what were your thoughts on this one, please?
Right, well, first of all, I want to know where Alistair bought that box, because I want one. So I have to PM him. And I'm going to start with the technical aspect of it. I mean, it was beautifully rhymed, and the lines were very skillfully crafted by Alistair. But what I really like is that he really speaks in depth of the disturbing events of the book and the film, the novella, actually. I mean, these films, I think there are about 11 of them, came from the novella by Clive Barker, who also directed the films, of course. And, you know, so he really delved into that aspect. I also liked the 8-line stanzas, because I think what he did was with each stanza, he covered the various aspects. For example, the temptation of opening the box, then the pain with pleasure with the S&M and BDSM aspects, and then Pinhead's entrance and the repercussions of opening the box. So I thought it was very nicely penned, a really, really good piece. And Rex, that was an amazing read, of course. Thank you very much for that. So bravo to both of you.
I have to agree with that. Laurent, your thoughts, please.
Oh, like Stelina, I was very impressed by the rhyming. It's a wonderful story, beautiful lines, and really something that arrows in on the prompt, which, of course, is, let's say, the movie. In a way that is really concise, yet descriptive. It doesn't leave anything aside that should be included. It's difficult, really, to say what is the best, if anything. But the third stanza, which starts with a click surprises, shaking starts, then cracks appear on walls of heat. At first the figure fear imparts, all leather clad he takes a seat. It's a wonderful denouement, that moment when the magic box is opened. Really, well done by Alistair. Technically superior, poetically superior as well.
Great comments there, Laurent. Thanks. And Pam, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, yeah, this is wonderful dark imagery. Spot on rhyme and flow. I like how the way it pays tribute, as Delina was saying, to the novella and the movies. And it's one of those rites that you can appreciate whether or not you've read or seen the movies. And I really, really like the ending with then Pinhead smiles as girl departs, but Cenobites prove her defeat. Now dragged through wall to meet her pain. The hooks and screams sing sad refrain. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And Weaver, your thoughts?
Well, as I may have mentioned, I haven't actually watched any of these movies, but I feel I don't need to for this one, because that was so beautifully explained, so precise. And I love the flow. I love the fact that it was that easy to listen to and easy to read, makes such a difference. And yes, as I say, I now know a lot more than I knew before. So thank you so much, Alistair, and thank you for sharing.
Thanks for that, Weaver. And Rex, how did this one go down with you?
Oh, well, that opening stanza shows a bit of darkness, but hints at something that's going on, almost playful within the thought of intriguing box may promise more, yet locked it, forced to hunt, to stall, lament configuration gleams. but hell awaits my sweetest dreams. There's the understanding of you know what's going on. You think you know what's going on, but it kind of hits at the right spot in the moment, making you want more. And then the second one, you get a nice draw into it. Police would draw, say, one who knows, descendant from the first to try, the promise of sweet pain, the joke. That does hit at the BDSM angle, but it doesn't. It only hints at the promise of pleasure and pain, not what really comes. And then that third stanza, actually, that surprise, the shaking starts. Everybody, you're sitting in awe. And all of a sudden, you get an inkling as to where and what is going to happen to you. And you've only got your wide open eyes to look at the buzz in the moment until it starts. And then all bets are off.
Absolutely. Brilliant comment there. To me, I just thought that this was an absolutely brilliant piece. As has been said, there is a wonderful rhyming sequence and flow throughout this piece. It really homes in on the imagery of the box unlocking the Cenobites into our earthly domain and the sufferance they inflict to reveal their ideal of pleasure in pain. It also vividly captures the, as is the title of the piece, lament of realization as to what follows. I picked out the same stanza that Laurent picked out earlier. A click surprises, shaking starts, then cracks appear on walls of heat. At first a figure fear imparts, all leather clad he takes a seat. Then Pinhead smiles as girl departs, but Cenobites prove her defeat. Now dragged through wall to meet her pain, the hooks and screams sing a sad refrain. Darkness expressed through poetic prowess. Very well done, Alistair. Loved it. And what have we got next, Delina?
Okay, off mute. I'm getting the hang of it. the next one up is by Darkened Auras, a.k.a. Christina, and it's called Your Wish is Eternal Life. Are you sure?
Okay. And Stelina, would you like to read this one, please?
With the greatest of pleasure, my dear. Okay, so your wish is eternal life. Are you sure? You found an ancient puzzle box and were drawn to it, unorthodox. Solve its puzzles and by design, you can bargain with hell's minions, just sign on the line. Eternal life, what wondrous dreams you may live eternally, but it's not what it seems. Others have wished for that too. Listen carefully, do you hear their screams? Such exquisite music to derelict ears, thrown away and forgotten for so many years, but now you've released me to prey upon fears. Let me relish in your blood and bathe in your tears. Some wishes don't turn out the way they appear. Laughter echoed as you were sucked inside the puzzle and chains penetrated through nearly every muscle. You could now live forever, trapped with his collection, not knowing the deception caused you introspection. End poem.
Brilliant read there, Stelina. Wonderful.
Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. Okay, and Pam, would you like to lead the comments on this one, please?
Oh, I would be happy to. As always, Darkened Auras has very impressive writing. And I like that this touches on the topic of be careful what you wish for, especially when it comes to eternal life. And I really like that sentence, that eternal life, what wondrous dreams you may live eternally, but it's not what it seems. Others have wished for that too. Listen carefully. Do you hear their screams? I feel like putting that question at the end of that stanza sets up the scene perfectly for what's to unfold. And I also really like it when the laughter is brought in, laughter echoed as you are sucked inside the puzzle and chains penetrated through every muscle. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Weaver, what did you think?
This is spooky. Oh, my goodness, it's so scary. What the heck? I don't want to ever find a puzzle box. This is not happening. Wonderfully done. I thought it was so clever and so beautifully written, and the rhyme was wonderful. But I think the stand has already been quoted, so I won't do it again, but eternal life. And then do you hear their screams? Beautifully done. And that last stanza, which I've always loved last stanzas, laughter echoed as you were sucked inside the puzzle and chains penetrated through nearly every muscle. Oh, my goodness, that's... Don't wish for anything. Don't ever wish for it. Well done. Very, very well done. So, yeah, it makes me think maybe I might want to watch them. Maybe not. But wonderful. Thank you for sharing.
Great. Thanks for that, Weaver. Okay. And Lauren.
Yes, I have to reference the third stanza that was already referenced. Eternal life, what wondrous dreams, you may live eternally, but it's not what it seems. And I seem to remember from my youthful reading that there was a goddess who had a lover and wished for him eternal life and was granted. The wish was granted, but she forgot to ask for eternal youth to accompany it. And then aged horribly. And therefore, do you hear their screams? It's particularly poignant. She did a great job with this. The exquisite music to derelict ears is a nice phrase. And I like the way it ended. Like echoing laughter as you're being sucked inside the puzzle. It's a nice visual. Well done.
Thank you, Lauren. Rex, what were your thoughts on this one?
It holds a nice tone for duality in mentality, because it offers up a puzzle box. Automatically, the brain is teased with the thought of finding a way to open it. And like a vampire, you are entranced in the moment and have to play with it. That second stanza shows that solves its puzzles, and by design, you can bargain it with Hell's minions just signed on the line. A nice duality in chords there. Now, the eternal life hints at that, but you don't realize what you're really getting into, because the mind is still spellbound with the thought of trying to find a way in. But what really kind of sung was, but now you release me to prey upon your fears. Let me relish in your blood and bathe in your tears. Some wishes don't turn out the way they appear. And that last two lines offer up a nice note too. You could now live forever, trapped within his collection, not knowing the deception caused you introspection. A nice alliteration run, which kind of hints at what's going on, but doesn't really deliver you there until you actually get to the box, which goes right back to the mentality angle and the need to open it and see what it is.
Great observations there, Rex. And Stelina, you read this one. How did you feel about it? I think you're on mute again, Stelina.
Oh, yes. I've been a victim of the mute button. Sorry. it had to happen. It had to happen. Christina, I think, did a fantastic job with this because, first of all, she's a very, very expert dark writer. You know, she always manages to get the atmosphere of whatever she's writing, whatever story she's writing. And she's a really, really fine storyteller of this genre. I particularly liked this piece because I like the use of this sort of disembodied voice, to reveal the story of what happened with the box and this idea of signing a pact with the devil. And Actually, I did pick out the exact same stanza that Laurent cited, you know, about eternal life, what wondrous dreams, you may live eternally, but it's not what it seems, etc., etc. I'm not going to repeat it. But yeah, it's something that sort of we, most of us at least, wish for, you know, immortality. I know I do. I've got too many things to do just for one life, you know. But at what cost? And as Laurent said, it might be great to live forever, but you have to ask for the youth as well, because, you know, you don't want to go sort of walking around with loads of saggy wrinkles. So, yeah, bravo, Christina. And, you know, thanks for entering our first contest and show, of course.
Great comments, Nestalina. For me, this one, I just felt it had wonderful rhyming and cadence that flows like water from a vine leaf. It hints at the selling of the soul with solve its puzzles and by design. You can bargain with hell's minions, just sign on the line. It captures the magnetism of solving the puzzle in search of reward, only to learn the lesson, be careful what you wish for. Again, as with everybody else, that stanza about eternal life seemed to resonate with all of us. I particularly like that one as well. It then goes on to examine how hell is ultimately created by self through the choices and acts of a lifetime, with the lines, laughter echoed as you were sucked inside the puzzle and chains penetrated through nearly every muscle. You could now live forever, trapped with his collection, not knowing the deception caused you introspection. I like the depth of this piece very much, and I have to say, very well done, Dark and Doris. Loved it. Okay, Stalina, where do we go from here? Stalina?
I'm here. You know, as I said, I've got like 6 pages open, and I'm finding the links. There we go. The next one up is called Immorality, and it's by Candy81.
Okay, thank you for that. And Weaver, would you like to read this one for us, please?
I would be happy to, thank you. Immorality. You're talking my language.
You naughty girl.
Serious face, I'm being good, sorry. Drinking the blood of the innocents, a ritual to bring darkness on humanity. No remorse for mothers and fathers selling their kids to be used for wickedness. Gathering around to watch and pray to the diabolical Baphomet horned beast. Capturing dark entities in a box to sleep until one's curiosity unleashes hell on humanity. He feeds on the dark impurities of the secrets one keeps, a torture technique using dark pleasures to lure in the weak, drug addiction devouring souls taking away any dignity. Manipulating husbands with pornography, deceiving wives will cheat, suffering will keep growing, as people choose to submit to the desires of the beast. Hell on earth, immorality, monstrous pain, they will bestow on anyone breathing. End poem.
Great reading there. Thank you for that, Weaver. Rex, how would you like to lead us off on this one?
Sure. This walks a different poem. This walks in literality, drinking the blood of the innocent, a ritual to bring darkness onto humanity. No remorse for mothers and fathers selling their kids to be used for wickedness. And then the digging into, he feeds on dark impurities, on the secrets one keeps. Manipulating husbands with pornography, deceiving wives also will cheat. Suffering will keep growing as people choose to submit to the desires of the beast. There's a tone of things that walk even today, that note to Baphomet and or Baal, and the thought to you can walk into this this life and reap its rewards, but it doesn't offer. It offers up at the back end with that note to earth immorality, monstrous pain, they will bestow on anyone breathing. There is that tone of where the end comes in the flames of a Sodom and Gomorrah setting.
Wonderful observations there, Rex. Thank you for that. And Pam, what were your thoughts on this?
I like that Candy 81 did decide to take a different twist. Like, you can definitely see within the demons and the mentioned box and the sexual parts of it that there is inspiration taken from the novella and the movies, but she takes it on a much more of a social commentary level. And the idea of how society is falling apart due to a lack of respect for others, a lack of respect for ourselves, and manipulation and dishonesty within relationships. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comments there, Pam. Thank you. Laurent, how did you feel about this?
I like what you did with this one in particular, because instead of writing a quote-unquote poem about the movie, you very skillfully took the essential elements of the story and delivered it to the reader in poetic prose, which I found very, very satisfying in the way that it was written, because it reads as a minor little allegory perhaps by itself, but it arrows in exactly on what the movie is and tells the reader what to expect in terms that go just beyond the movie but into life itself.
Great comments there. Okay, and Stelina, how did you feel about this?
I really enjoyed this one. I thought it had really lovely subtle rhymes. There was a slight assonance with the rhyme, and on some of the lines, which really added to the sort of flow. The lines were very well crafted, and they were very, you know, the flow of it was really pleasurable to hear. I think that she really got the total point of his story. You know, the humans are the real villains here, not the Cenobites. So, you know, suffering from their own depraved and their diabolical deeds. And actually the part that Rex picked out was the part that affected me. The manipulating husbands with pornography, deceiving wives will cheat. Suffering will keep growing as people choose to submit to the desires of the beast. Hell on earth, immorality, monstrous pain, they will bestow on anyone breathing. I think, you know, it does resonate with sort of how life is today. There's so much suffering, and you know, people are not kind to each other. So it really connects to the modern life too. I really enjoyed the form of the poem. I like this three paragraph style. It was a fresh and original write for me, and I enjoyed it very much. So well done, Candy, and a lovely read too. So thank you very much.
Thank you for that, Stelina. Weaver, how did you feel about this?
Oh, this was an absolute pleasure to read. I do apologize for stumbling a little bit. That is why I always have a sound close, because I can't read. But
no, that's not true, Katie. That's not true.
It was a great
Come
reading,
on.
Kate.
Oh, I just feel so bad when I stumble over somebody's work when they've been, you know, you can see how much effort.
You have to make SoundClouds for all the poems you read.
That's a good idea. My God.
We'll save them next time.
Oh, yeah. As I say, this is just, and as you said, so it flowed so beautifully. And it was, I imagine this is, as you said, this is a take on the films themselves. But I thought it was beautifully done. And just, yeah, a pleasure. A pleasure, if you say that, about monstrous pain and immorality. Yes, I think I can. It was very well done, so thank you for sharing.
Okay, thanks for that, Weaver. I'd have to agree that this poem comes at the whole concept in from a different direction. It's more real. A deeply dark muse on all the temptations the devil places before us, trying to seduce us into his wicked web of eternal sufferance and misery. There's kind of a classic Christian view behind this on the damnation of the immortal soul, paying the price for being weak-willed and allowing oneself to be led astray by the devil in a selfish, hedonistic pursuit of physical pleasure above love, faith, and self-restraint. He feeds on the dark impurities of the secrets one keeps, a torture technique using dark pleasures to lure in the weak. Drug addiction, devouring souls, taking away any dignity, manipulating husbands with pornography, deceiving wives will cheat, suffering will keep growing as people choose to submit to their desires of the beast. Hell on earth, immorality, monstrous pain, they will bestow on anyone breathing. Nicely done, Candy. I think I managed to score 3 out of 4 on Hell's Hellbound Naughty List there, so great piece. Okay, let's move on. Stelina, where are we going to go from here?
Right, so the next piece up is called Puzzle of Permanent Pain, nicely alliterated title, there by Maeve Edmondson.
That's great. Okay, just give me one moment and I shall read this one myself. I'm like you, I've got that many boxes open.
Yes, I've got about 10.
Okay, right. Just give me one sec here.
Okay, anybody want to sing? Pam?
Yeah, so can somebody just hum a little tune here?
Yeah. Yeah, we could do the monster mash. We could do the monster mash.
Wow. Okay, here we go. Puzzle of Permanent Pain by Maeve Edmondson. Again, the depths in despair, where tortured souls forever fare. The Cenobites await their helpless prey to inflict upon them endless pain. In their wake they leave behind a trail of blood and shattered minds. Meat hooks into victims' torsos, chains crushing bones even more so. Feet dragging, toes sawed to the bones, pinheads, psychosomatic urges shown, pins and needles, a scalpy revealed brain, creatures of the dark, torturously attained, pinheads flesh, tacked to a soulless shell, reigning high priest in the pits of hell. The puzzle box, a gateway to their domain, opens the door to their pleasure and your pain. Those who dare to solve its riddle are bound to a fate both cruel and brittle. Once previously a man of flesh and bone, Pinhead roamed this earth alone. The chains that bound him tightened fast as his flesh was torn like shattered glass. The new Cenobite petrifies in horrid ecstasy as it is reborn in this putrid agony. Purgatorized in labyrinth's eternal damnation, cursed in a craven, psychotic revelation. End poem. Okay, Stelina, would you like to lead the way on this one, please?
For sure. First of all, wonderful read of Maeve's poem.
Thank you.
Very nice. Maeve has entered lots of my contests. I put quite a few dark contests up, as well as others, and she's entered many different ones. And I find her to be an excellent writer. Whatever she pens, it always comes out very, very well. But she's really good with the dark ambience. And she has a lovely rhyming scheme going on here, and a beautiful flow, lovely to read, as I'm sure you'll agree because you've read it. And I always look forward to reading her work. You know, here I think she penned another great piece, and she also dips into the emotional side of the protagonist here. You know, with the lines. Once previously a man of flesh and bone, Pinhead roamed this earth alone. The chains that bound him tightened fast as his flesh was torn like shattered glass. So we get a little of his backstory. I mean, if you haven't seen the films or the novella, you know, he was a war veteran, I think, or, you know, and he suffered a lot of trauma when he was on Earth. So I think she tried to dip into that as well, and it really worked very, very well. So bravo, Maeve, again, on a lovely dark write and a beautiful read, Arcana. Thank you.
Thank you, Stelina. Laurent, how did this one sit with you?
Oh, it sits very well. I'm drawn to the flow of this, which is important in any collaboration, and this one is pretty seamless. What stands out for me is the rhyming, the alliteration. I like the two-line rhymes all the way through here. It quickens the pace, which is nice. And nothing stands out because it's all so good, but those who dare to solve its riddle are bound to a fate both cruel and brittle. Once previously a man of flesh and bone, Pinhead roamed this earth alone. It has very, very nice rhythm to it. So it's a pleasure to read, and it tells the story in a very elegant and visceral way. I enjoyed it a great deal.
That's great. Thank you for that, Lauren. Okay. And Pam, how did you feel?
Yeah, I have to agree that with Lauren that this is a wonderful collaboration with a seamless flow. Great writing by both Maeve Edmondson and Jody Melton. I really like how this is seamless. Wonderful dark imagery, and I have to agree with Stelina that they really bring out the emotional side of the protagonist, and really delve deep into that particular character. And he really is a fascinating character who had more and more of himself revealed as the movies went along. And I really like where at near the end where it says, Pinhead roamed this earth alone, the chains that bound him tightened fast as his flesh was torn like shattered glass. But all the way through, there's just amazing lines and very well done.
Can I interrupt there for a second? I have to apologize. I didn't actually realize that was a collaboration. That's my bad, you know. I was reading so many of these poems that I didn't actually notice that she had written this with someone else. So I totally agree. It was so seamless that, you know, without knowing, I just thought Maeve had written it. So that proves what a good team they were, actually. So, yeah, apologies for that. That's my bad.
The psychic connection's still working, Stelina. You just took the words from my mouth. I was about to thank Pam for bringing it to our attention that this is actually a collaboration with Jody. Excellent. Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And Weaver.
Oh, my goodness me. So scary. I think this is, again, beautifully done because I actually felt shivers down my back. You were talking. I did like the lines, in their wake, they leave behind a trail of blood and shattered minds. I mean, it's just very so, and as you say, seamless. it wasn't until I looked over and noticed it was a collab that I realized just how beautifully it was done. You would think one person, which is it's what you want from a collaboration. You don't want two people, you know, juggling against each other. You want it to be seamless so that it's an enjoyable read. Well, when I say, again, enjoyable is perhaps the wrong word. But, yes, they really, yeah, they got into this story beautifully. If they can make me feel queasy, then it's a damn good write. Because not much upsets me. So, well done.
No, same here, Katie. You know, in fact, nothing really upsets me with this kind of thing. But I agree with what you said there. And that's possibly why I didn't. I should have read the notes, but as I said, I was a little bit preoccupied with getting everything, you know, sorted. But yeah, it was a wonderful collaboration. I agree with you there, and with Pam.
And Rexy, what was your thoughts, please?
Those first four lines are important. They impart a little bit, but they go off a little bit too, because you've got the first two lines rhyme. Then the second two don't. That's good and important, because as you read, you don't get that impartation of a rhyming piece because of the language they've used and how it rolls off the tongue and through the mind. So that works well. And she's got some great lines where Pinhead walks. Pinhead's psychosomatic urge is shown. And what's it? Pinhead's flesh tacked to a soulless shell, reigning high priest in the pits of hell. The puzzle box, a gateway to their domain, opens the door to their pleasure and your pains. Those who dare to solve its riddle are bound to a fate both cruel and brittle. I like the offset rhyme with that, too. It works well, and it does add a little bit of extra tonality to the thought of the flesh and bones being brittle in the moment. So this is nicely done for the two, and they did work it. They may have had to do a little bit of fleeting on the back end to make things sit right and perfectly, but it's done very well from the two of them.
I have to totally agree with that. Writing collaborations isn't an easy thing to do. Sometimes you've got totally different mindsets sort of that are working against something, and there has to be a meeting of those minds in order to actually forge something that, like this piece, is quite seamless. I think it's very well done. For me, there's a great mix of rhymes and near rhymes that hang from the vines of lines to make dark wines. There is a great flow to this inspired piece, and I like the way Maeve has done her homework on Hellraiser with Pinhead's flesh tacked to a soulless shell, reigning high priest in the pits of hell. Which describes his descent from humanity into this demonic demigod from hell. Once previously a man of flesh and bone, Pinhead roamed this earth alone. The chains that bound him tightened fast as his flesh was torn like shattered glass. I thought the last two lines were powerful too. As was said, purgatorized in the labyrinth's eternal damnation, cursed in a craven psychotic revelation. Gripping stuff, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Very well done, Maeve and Jody. Both of you, brilliant write. Okay, Stelina, I think we may have skipped a piece along the way.
I just put him in.
Poetic creation, suffering and pleasure abound.
Yeah, he's coming.
We got it in hand. Okay, I'll trust with you. Where are we going to go next then?
Right, so the next piece up is by Uncle Ernie, and actually Uncle Ernie sent me a request to read his piece.
Okay. Has that been entered anywhere? Because when I looked earlier, it wasn't in the contest.
No, it is, okay. Yeah.
Brilliant, yeah. Okay.
And he got his blanket permission.
That's great.
So everything's cool.
Take it away.
Okay, right. So, lovely presentation, first of all. So, this is a piece by Uncle Ernie, and it's called Shall We Begin? Summoned by human hunger and debauched depravity, our boundaries of exploration are limitless, infinite. To some, I am the creature from their nightmares, a demon from the darkest recesses of their psyche. To others, I am a savior guiding them beyond the realms of their wildest dreams and fantasies. My obsidian gaze penetrates their souls as I blend pain and pleasure all together. And they bear witness to sights only we can show them. They fall into madness faster than falling into slumber, their bodies and spirits yielding, pliant and weak, their tremulous forms on display before us, a veritable feast of flesh at my disposal. Myriad methods in my malevolent mind, as I guide them through the murky miasma of hell, freeing them from the narrow confines of their baser desires, leading them to heights of sensation beyond mortal comprehension. End poem.
Great reading there, Stelina. Brilliant.
Thank you, my dear.
You're welcome. Okay, Pam, would you like to lead the way on the comments on this one, please?
Oh, yes. I'm very impressed with this one. You know, when it comes to dark rites, I always enjoy a first-person narrative. And I like how this immediately opens up a line, summoned by human hunger and debauched depravity, the idea that it's the human desire to have those physical needs fulfilled, those physical hungers fulfilled beyond thought or care for anything else that is answered by these monsters, these demons. I like that there's the imagery throughout this. It's just haunting and visceral. Their tremulous forms on display before us, a veritable feast of flesh at my disposal. Myriad methods in my malevolent mind, which, by the way, is just amazing use of alliteration. So great dark rite and very well done.
I have to agree. Excellent comments there, Pam. Rex, what do you think?
Well, I like the title. It offers up a note, something darkness to begin with. Shall we begin? And that opening line, summoned by human hunger and debauched depravity, is a great start because it offers up both ends of the equation. To some, I am the creature of their nightmares, a demon from the darkest recesses of their psyche. To others, I am a savior guiding them beyond the realms of their wildest dreams and fantasies. And it goes back and forth with that idea of offering up to both ends, the debauched depravity, the human hunger. But in that, you get the madness that veils down on some, while others enjoy both the pain and the pleasure. And it rolls through that way, right to the end, leading them to heights of sensation beyond mortal comprehension. Some enjoy the role they play within this and are enlivened with it, while others might enjoy that role to begin with, but as it continues, they go down this role of madness because they can't take both the pleasure and the pain. It conflicts with their inner sense of self, even though they wanted it to begin with.
Great comment, Rex. And Laurent, how did you feel about this one?
Well, it's filled with like a mad sensuality. It skirts the limits of imagination. Summoned by human hunger and debauched depravity, our boundaries of exploration are limitless, infinite. To some, I am the creature from their nightmares, a demon from the darkest recesses of their psyche. To others, I am a savior guiding them. You know, is a kind of a willing acceptance, almost a desire to descend into an erotic world of pleasure and pain, a seductive torment that could drive them crazy, insane. It's very, very interestingly done. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Very well put. I have to agree with you. I've not actually read anything before by Uncle Ernie, but having read this, I have to say, I'm mightily impressed. I think there's some absolutely brilliant lines in here. And I think he's really captured the essence of the Cenobites and how they're leading their victims into this maze of pain, which that to them is pleasure. And it is beyond comprehension at first to understand how pleasure could possibly be transmuted into pain, how pain could, be transmuted into pleasure. Yet that there is this kind of awakening to this idea that there is something to find within the pain that will actually bring pleasure, almost like an acceptance to it. And once that bridge has been crossed, then no longer does it hold any sort of fear. It's like an awakening. So I think it's excellently written, very, very good, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Well done. Stelina, you read this. How did you feel about it?
Well, before I give you my comment, I need to tell you that this guy messaged me because he actually asked me to read his piece, and he's been on the AP for a while, he said, but he hasn't been writing a lot because poetry is new to him, and he wanted to read a lot and get a feel, you know. And so, you know, for this is really, I think he's written one or two smaller pieces, but I think this is his first long piece, and I have to say it's an excellent debut to LNP anyway contest, and I'm so pleased that he chose ours to sort of, let's say, break into the dark poetry. I thought it was I thought it was beautifully contrived. I mean, first of all, wonderful vocabulary inducing these horrific images, you know, and beautiful dark lines. But it also sees into the psychology of the book too, which I loved. And technically, you know, it has some lovely alliteration in, as Pam said, you know. It's not over strong. It's just one or two lines. But, for example, the, you know, myriad methods in my malevolent mind as I guide them through the murky miasma of hell. And the alliteration it doesn't hinder the flow of the poem, which is an amazing thing, you know. And so I thought he was a wonderful writer, wonderful first write for us. And thank you, Ernie, for choosing our contest to do so. Bravo.
I have to agree. I've seen Ernie sort of hanging back in the shadows for a while now.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
After reading this, definitely needs encouraging to write more, because if this is the flavour, then, you know, give us more, Ernie. We need work from you, definitely.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I agree.
Okay, Stelina.
Yes, my darling.
Where are we going to go next from here?
Okay, I've got all tied up in these horrific... Oh, yes, I've already got it.
Tied up? what are you up
right.
to there?
Now, be good. Right, so the next piece up is by Jenny the Deep. Jenny likes changing her name, I've noticed. Relinquishing the box, then demolishing Hellraisers.
That's great. Okay, so Rex, would you like to read this one for us?
Sure. Relinquishing the box, then demolishing Hellraisers. Jenny the Deep. Curiosity killed the cat, dooming all with one cast of a stone, placed on a mysterious, levitating, illuminating box. Unleashing demonic monsters, no one is safe. Shortly after midnight, howling at the moonlight, they scream as you try and hide your closing eyes. Out of time, hell-raising creatures come after you, frightened, possessed terrorizers torture teens tonight. Tunnel vision darkens as more hellraisers appear. Opening that box will be their biggest regret. asking for no tears. They require a good suffering. Find that now hidden box and chain them back up. Containing them and destroying them is your only option. They will grab you, pinning you, pricking your cheek to cheek, dragging you across the pavement by your bloody feet. You must trap them first before they get to you. Close that box and lock it. Step back and demolish it now. And pump.
Great read, Rex. Thank you for that. And Stelina, let's start with you this time. What did you think?
Okay, well, first of all, wonderful read from Rex. Do I need to say that every time? I don't think so.
Because I think it's always a wonderful. I think we can say that one for the bank.
Yeah, we can't we? It's a given. Anyway, so, I like this piece, actually. I mean, curiosity killed the cat. Isn't that always the way? We can't resist things. I know, personally speaking, when someone tells me I can't do something, then you have to be sure I will do it. That's me, you know. So I like that sort of human approach to this. She also follows it up with all the horrors unleashed on that naughty cat, you know, the torture and the suffering. And this stanza in particular, out of time, hell-raising creatures come after you, frightening, possessed, terrorizers, torture teens tonight. Nice little bit of alliteration there too. Tunnel vision darkens as more hell-raisers appear. Opening that box will be their biggest regret. Asking for no tears, they require a good suffering. So she really has imbibed the story, you know, of the Cenobites and their purpose, you know, coming from the box. But I like the humanistic approach too, where she talks about, you know, the curiosity of humans, and it's always, you know, always gets us into trouble. You know, we're always doing things we shouldn't do and poking our nose where we shouldn't poke it, and we suffer the consequences. And I really thought she did a great job. So well done, Jenny. Thank you for that wonderful piece.
Thank you, Stelina. And Weaver, what were your thoughts?
Well, yeah. First of all, I love the title. It was well set up. And the first line, perfect. Yeah, this was very interesting, a great read. And again, it told me so much about the actual films themselves, which is great because I'm learning more and more. But I did like, they will grab you, pinning you, pricking your cheek to cheek, dragging you across the pavement by your bloody feet. They must trap them first before they get to you. Close that box and lock it. Step back and demolish it now. Sounds like a damn good plan. I'm in there with you, Jenny. We'll get the little buggers out there, people, things. So thank you very much. Very enjoyable.
Thank you, Eva. And it would be remiss of me not to allow all the ladies to go first this time. So, Pam, can you follow that up for us, please?
Oh, yes. A wonderful comment so far. I really like this. First of all, I like that the lesson is, you know, be careful with curiosity. I also like that she makes the box a central theme, because I feel like the box is as much of a character as the Cenobites or any of the humans. I really got a kick out of this all the way through, but my favorite part that I super got a kick out of, when with the alliteration and the imagery where she says, oh man, I got to find this, because it just, this, frightening, possessed, terrorizers, torture teens tonight. I mean, doesn't that just make you think of every 1970s and 1980s horror movie where, like, the teens are at camp, don't have sex or you'll get murdered. Yeah, love that. So very
serves
cool
them right.
Very well done.
Serves them right, Pam. They should behave.
Exactly.
Yes. Doing
definitely,
naughty things.
Definitely echoes of Friday the 13th and Halloween in there. And a bit of Nightmare on Elm Street too, for good measure.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lauren, give us your thoughts, please.
Yeah, very, very clever piece by Jenny. The first stanza and the first couple of lines especially are so interesting to me. You have, of course, curiosity killing the cat, which is a direct reference to Pandora's box. Then it also speaks, I think, a little bit to Schrodinger's cat, that famous time experiment, that famous thought experiment. As she writes, out of time, hell-rising creatures come after you, frightening, possessed, terrorizes, tortured teens tonight. Tunnel vision darkens as more hellraisers appear. Opening that box will be their biggest regret. We're handed, you know, with what happens if you look. And I enjoy the alliteration from terrorizes, tortured teens tonight. Tunnel vision. It flows. For a long alliteration, it flows. So we have skillful writing and an interesting take on the thought.
I have to agree with that. And Rex, how did you feel about this one?
It's a morality tale. It walks on two levels, reality and the dreamland. You got the opening line, curiosity killed the cat, and by the time you get to the second stanza, the end line, opening that box will be their biggest regret. You've also got Nightmare on Elm Street with terrorizes, torture teens tonight. But the morality angle of this, which I see rolling through, is that note with the torture teens tonight that imparts the coming of age, opening that box, whether it's sex, whether it's booze, whether it's drugs, opening that box offers up a plethora of things that you don't understand until you delve into it. And the back end of that is that morality or fable that you ought to wrap yourself in. You must trap them first before they get to you. Close that box, lock it, step back, and demolish it now. And that imparts the notion of you're not quite ready. Wait.
Great comment there, Rex. For me, this was an imaginatively written piece of free verse with, as has been said, some very nice alliteration in there. I think it sort of jumps out at you, that line with all the T's, you know, terrorizes, torture teens tonight. Great bit of alliteration thrown in there. Tunnel vision darkens as more hellraisers appear. Opening that box will be their biggest regret. Jenny's conjured some great imagery in her mind's eye. And from the start, she offers a warning of how curiosity can kill the cat by tinkering with the Rubik's Cube from hell. It builds on the dark pickle the puzzle solvers find themselves in, stanza by stanza, ending with a stern warning in the final line, close that box and lock it, step back and demolish it now. Love it. Well done, Jenny. Great piece.
Have to agree with that.
And Stelina, where do we go from here?
Okay, so here we go with Poetic Creations piece, and it's called Suffering and Pleasure Abound.
Excellent. Okay, and Laurent, would you like to read this one for us, please?
Certainly. Pick it up. All right. Suffering and Pleasure Abound. This push and wrap around the end. Gently roll your finger, then lift the hinge. This is how lethal carnage begins, when your hands hold the key to fringe. Nightmare's insanity comes to play. Flesh is ripped, hooked, and torn away. The tones of music black and gray. A mutilated face makes a fine bouquet. Crimson amber eyes robe bright. Our chains bump and grind all night. Evil centerfolds shear and smite, celebrating red splattered over. Demon hunger for a bloody rain. Twisted pleasure exists on another plane. Suffering is a wild beast untamed, raging in a sarcophagus built to contain. Vessels drift down the river Styx, where suffering and pleasure intermix. Bodies are branded 666. This is where the devil can. Where licking flames burn to purify those who unlock blood-stained skies. Suffering takes pleasure as a bride, so legion may advance forward in stride. Men are strung up, hung by a noose. Loose women dangle, hooked on abuse. This is how sorrows are produced. This is how joy is allowed to run loose. Beyond the boundaries of mortality, carnal brutality possesses not morality. Death knows not about formality. It only knows how to offer up a fatality. Blood on lips is an unsatisfied kiss, forging on rotten flesh, crimson mists. Drool pools in this raunchy abyss. Puss boils and cysts to quenched fists. Infectious leprosy and black plague. You'll survive if you amputate your legs. Double the lashings if you behave. You can't visit hell and come out unscathed.
And wonderful reading there, Lauren. Absolutely wonderful reading. An epic piece. Pam, how did you feel about this one?
This is a very impressive write. On a technical level, it has just amazing spot-on rhyme and flow. It captures the darkness and the sexuality, the BDSM angle of the movies, and, of course, the novella, too. I really like, particularly, Beyond the Boundaries of Mortality, Carnal Brutality possesses not morality. Death knows not about formality. It only knows how to offer up a fatality. And then, you know, the next one after, the two lines after, blood on lips, it's an unsatisfied kiss, gorging on rotten flesh, crimson mist. It's that combination of death and sensuality that makes it particularly disturbing and therefore just a wonderful dark rite. So very well done.
Absolutely. And Stelina, give us your thoughts, please.
I have to agree with Pam, actually, on everything that she said with regards to this piece. I think that Aaron really made a great effort to write this wonderful piece, and he really got into the psyche of Pinhead. You know, I enjoyed it right from the start. I mean, the start when he speaks of the temptation to open the box and how he describes it in such detail, you know, so delicately but in detail, twist, push and wrap around the end, gently roll your finger, then lift the hinge. You know, he's sort of telling us from the beginning, there's a little bit of a tentative feeling here, you know, shall I, shan't I open it? And then he carries on, you know, this is how lethal carnage begins, when your hands hold the key to fringe. So, you know, the fate is in the hands here. The fate is in your hands. Are you going to, you know, resist the temptation, or are you going to follow it through? I love the visceral part of this rite, and the rhyming. The rhyming is really well done. Vessels drift down the river Styx, where suffering and pleasure intermix. Bodies are branded 666. This is where the devil gets his kicks. I love that line. And I also love the last line, can't visit hell and come out unscathed. I mean, he really did a wonderful job with it. He really put his heart and soul in it. It was expertly rhymed, beautifully flowing piece, and a great write. So bravo, Aaron. Thank you very much for writing this.
Thank you very much, Stelina. And Rex, did pleasure abound for you in this piece?
Yeah. It's 10 stanzas, and I outside two or maybe three, they all run on a singular note of mono rhyme, which adds to the flow and enhances a lot of the flavor drawn upon. Because Stelina just hit on that one stanza, which really was a little bit of cleverness. Vessels drift down the river Styx. where suffering and pleasure intermix. Bodies are branded 666. This is where the devil gets its kicks. And the language he's used tells you to be a little bit deliberate in how you read it. You got to slow down a bit because it calls for a certain angles drawn on, like men are strung up, hung by a noose. Loose women dangle, hooks on abuse. This is how sorrows are produced. This is how joy is allowed to run loose. You get that deliberate note. And each stanza from the thought of where the devil gets his kicks, there's that little buildup from the first four, but by the time you get to here, it rolls a little bit more darker through each thought. You've got unmarked blood-stained skies. You've got hooked on abuse. Carnal brutality possesses not morality. Blood on lips is an unsafe, satisfied kiss. Gorging on rotten flesh, crimson mist. Nice tone, a raunchy abyss. And then pus boils and cysts, two clenched fists. There's nice dark imagery. And and even in the back end, leprosy and black plague. Nice tone there. And that thought, you can't visit hell and come out unscathed. So if you're going to play, you best be understanding of what the back end also offers up.
Great observations there, X. Yeah, I have to agree. And Weaver, did you suffer or did you get pleasure? Or both?
Funny she usually gets both.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, yes, the rumour's there, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well, I used to be of the belief that if it hurts, you're doing it wrong. But this...
No, I think it's the opposite, to be honest.
Oh yes, but this particular group of poetry that you've brought to us, maybe slightly changing my mind. I don't know. Do I hear the whip? No, I don't. I thought it was brilliantly done. Sound effects, fabulous. Yes. But like you, I love, like all of you, I love that particular one about the vessels dripping. Oh my goodness me! You want to go to somebody else? My mouth has gone AWOL.
No, go. We want to say.
I think you're doing very well. Keep going, please.
Me too. Go on.
Okay. You're just laughing at me. I love it. So, vessels drift down the river Styx where suffering and pleasure intermix. I think that is like my favorite one as well because it's so well done. But men are strung up, hung by a noose. Loose women dangle hooked on a be. Oh, blimey. That's getting right down to the nitty gritty. But yes, I thought it was beautifully done. I love the rhyming and I love the fact that it was, no, maybe not that line, but the rest of them, perfect. So thank you.
Thank you for that.
Thanks for your comment, Jean. Crack snap.
Lauren, give us your thoughts, please.
Well, I have to yield to Rex, who effectively took every single one of my talking points and did a wonderful job with them, I might add. And even right down to the stanza that he chose to quote, the seventh stanza, which I thought was a jaw-dropper in terms of its implications and what it actually said and his very prescient, the very prescient point that he made on that particular stanza. So I'm in full agreement with everything he said. Marvelous piece.
Thank you for that, Lauren. Now, I've allowed myself to become somewhat distracted by Katie there. So, Pam, have I already asked you for a comment on this?
You did, yes.
Yes,
okay.
She did.
Okay, I guess that leaves me then. So I would have to say on this piece, obviously it was an epic piece and brilliantly read as well. I particularly enjoyed these stanzas, though they were all very good. Blood on lips is an unsatisfied kiss, gorging on rotten flesh, crimson mists, drool pools in this raunchy abyss, pus boils and cysts, two clenched fists, infectious leprosy and black plague. You'll survive if you amputate your legs. Double the lashings if you behave. you can't visit hell and come out unscathed. Poetic Creations has delved more deeply into the classic imagery of hell with repeated references to demons, the devil, 666, the river Styx, and imagery of hell itself, where licking flames burn to purify those who unlocked bloodstained skies. Suffering takes pleasure as a bride, so Legion may advance forward in stride. Very well written, Poetic Creations, and I really enjoyed your ride through hell. Great writing. So, Stalina, lead the dance. Where do we go from here?
667, Dave of the Beast.
what?
Katie. Yeah, I think he sort of described your breakfast every day there, Arcana. Right.
Absolutely.
Right, so the next piece is by our wonderful Monsieur Laurent Yvain, and it is called Hear His Thunder.
Now, who better to read that? Who have we got that would be the ideal person to read that?
I have no idea. Can't think.
Lauren, take it away.
God knows, I'm looking over my shoulder. All right, this is a collaboration, and it's called Hear His Thunder.
Can I just ask, Lauren, before we read, who is it a collaboration with, my friend?
Say again, please.
Excellent. Go ahead. Take it away.
Dark chamber, endlessly large. Intricate glyphs dance the surface of a carved golden box. Solitary feature on a dusty table. Some thing pulsed within. Confined, moving maniacally. Shrouds singing a mocking insanity. Image neath the black veil taunting. Keening wail fills fetid air. Ululation of a voice in despair. An alabaster scream gone black. Terminal velocity of sound. Another turn of the screw. Louder now. It's coming from you. Arr! Screeching. Weeping, wailing. Gnashing of teeth, tongues now burn, and flames raw heat, a bloodbath of life, a spiritual disease. Exsanguinated spirals arc wider, coughing up splatter from pierced flesh, leaking in concentric circles. You are pulled to a song heard, straining at carved walls, hissing, seeking escape, succumbing volitionless to a voice diabolic and sensual in its diatribe, luring the unwary to laden boards where sets a dark feast, cenobites chattering, moving, eating, tearing meat, breaking bones, sounds of the horrific, and so flowed in death's surrender, calling to lost anatomy, chaotically suspended in loops of clinical autumn red. Mortal skin and bone, joining crumbling demonic groans, birthing a mordant manifestation, gauzy, vaporous, congealing, alternating sharps and flats, pillorying expectations, flesh stapled by rag and bone rhyme, into shapes that watch you. Epic, rising, a bonfire flickering, reconstructed from blood ash. Hatchet man slays the plunderer. Hear his thunder. End call.
Fantastic. Fantastic read there, Laurent. And an excellent, excellent collaboration between you and Irish Rose. Okay, so, Stalina, lead the way with this, please.
Okay,
I'm sure
my dear.
Plenty to say on this.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have, but, you know, there's so many people commenting. I don't want to take over.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, first off, it's an amazing, right, an amazing collaboration from Laurent and Gwen. extremely seamless. I mean, until Laurent told me it was a collaboration, I had no idea. Again, my bad, I should have checked. But the crafting of the lines and, I mean, you know, Laurent, you have a style which is your own. You know, you know that I'm a fan of your writing. I've said this many times. But I feel that Gwen has stepped in here and has, you know, enhanced the write as well. You know, it's two excellent poets at work here. The vocabulary is a joy to find in this piece. The suspense, you know, the suspense has been heightened within the lines and the beautiful vivid imagery. And it's just a stunning piece of darkness. I love this sort of these words, succumbing, volitionless. I love that word, volitionless. It's a lovely sound to a voice diabolic in its diatribe, you know, or diatribe, sorry. Just an outstanding piece from both of you. I'm so glad that you decided to, you know, come in and write something for us. It's much appreciated and it's enhanced the contest a lot. So well done, both of you. You're welcome.
Absolutely agree. And Rex, your thoughts?
You've got it set in part. That first part offers up the notion of where you start in that first stanza. Dark chamber endlessly large, and then a carved golden box, solitary feature on a dusty table. That gives a notion of a little ancient realm where the only thing that shines upon that dusty table is that golden box. And then you offer up something, then the pulse. There's kind of a Poe-like atmosphere that the pulse, and that offers up the notion of life in the moment. And then by the time you get down to the ending of this, because you hit on the moving manically, then the shroud singing and mocking insanity, image neath the black veil taunting, a little bit more. But you, by the time you get to the end of that, another turn of the screw, louder now, it's coming from you. Then you open up the second part with the deep gurgle scream and then the screech of you, yourself, the weeping, the wailing, gnashing of teeth, tongues now burn in flames of raw heat, a bloodbath of life, a spiritual disease. So you offer up a note with that, the thought of the spiritual disease is the lack of spirituality and the willingness to walk into temptation. Then the bloodletting begins, exsanguination, splatter, pierced flesh. And then that notion of a song heard. So there's a little bit, you go from the pain into a little bit of pleasure with a song, the thought of a sensual and diatribe, that little note to come, we will have, and you will learn, and you will press yourself into what we offer you. There's that note of darkness, but also the dark end of sensuality. And what else we got here? And then the alternating sharps and flats. I like that. It gives tonality, the sharp twings to a string pull, and then the dark, flat note that comes after it. I like the thought with pillorying expectations. One blocked up for everyone to view, and the flesh stapled by rag and bone rhyme into shapes that watch it. That's a nice tone of the ripped flesh kind of hanging in the air, dancing with a tune rolling into it as well. I like that. And then you finish out with a hatchet man slays the blunderer. Here is thunder, but it's also a finish to that darkness with the axe shearing the bone.
Great observations. Beautiful. There, Rex.
Beautiful comment.
Thank you for that. Pam, can you share your thoughts, please?
Yes, absolutely. This is a brilliant dark rite. I love the imagery and metaphors. I really enjoy and appreciate how it reminds us that you hear evil coming before you see it. And I really liked your reading of this, Laurent, especially with the sound effects of the screeching, turning screw. You know, I like how this speaks on the darkness that hides within the shadows and yet is constantly on the move, constantly stalking that darkness that we succumb to. It's a great tribute to the Cenobites and to the movies, but at the same time, it's in your own unique voices that you both have. I really particularly like Keening Wail, Phil's Fetid Air, Autolation of Voice in Despair, and Alabaster Scream Gone Black, Terminal Velocity of Sound. Wonderful lines all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comments there, Pam.
I totally agree. I totally agree there. I think you and Gwen should write much more together. You're both wonderful together.
Absolutely. Katie.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I particularly like And So Flowed in Death Surrender, Calling to Lost Anatomy, Chaotically Suspended in Loops of Clinical Autumn Red, Mortal Skin and Bone joining crumbling demonic groans, birthing a mordant manifestation, gauzy, vaporous, and my special favourite, congealing.
There are those words, aren't there?
Oh, there are. I mean, my least favourite word in the entire world, and I hope I never see it in poetry, is moist.
Oh, yeah, everybody.
Yeah, oh my. But yes, there were so many of those particular types. I must find out what Cenobites actually are. I haven't got a Scooby. Yeah, see, you look like...
Demonic sadomasochistic entities from hell who've come to teach us the pleasure in pain.
Oh, I really didn't need to know that. I'll be visualising them outside my window. Oh, no.
The next boyfriend, Casey.
Thanks for that.
Thank you. Yes, I loved it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Katie. Okay. I've got to start by saying, wow. What an absolutely amazing collaboration between Lauren and Irish Rose. Lauren never disappoints with his amazing poetry. The imagination and metaphoric imagery that he has skillfully and precisely crafted in this dark masterpiece are simply awesome. The whole piece took me on a ride in my mind's eye, journeying into the hellish realm of the Cenobites, trapped in their clawing clutch. It's so hard to pick out stanzas as the whole piece is just brilliantly written. But these were particularly spellbinding. Keening Wail fills fetid air, ululation of a voice in despair, an alabaster scream gone black, terminal velocity of sound, and so flowed in death's surrender, calling to lost flesh, chaotically suspended, mortal skin and bone joining crumbling demonic groans, reconstructed from blood ash, hatchet man slays the blunderer, hear his thunder. So speaks the words of an inspired, skillful poet. A truly wonderful piece, Laurent. Well done.
Wow. Great comment. Thank you.
My pleasure. So, Stalina, we're running low on time now, but I think we're going to get another one in if we're quick.
We might even get two, but I know you particularly wanted this one. You wanted to read this one yourself, so I'm popping it up now. And it is Should You Seek It by Nicholas Black.
Okay, great.
I think you wanted to read that, didn't you?
I did. I do. Okay. So here we have it. Should You Seek It, Nicholas Black. You. Should your avarice plead, so rapt of our fruits, ever seeking the seed, now claim the relic. We claim your flesh broken. Come, sip this nectar to to join us, awoken. Go, find a cure to a seed. The box, it pursues you. Surrender and bleed. Drink of its marrow. Chew through the bone. Shed the edema to join us enthroned. Come, flee that derelict skin. Unlock the box and you'll find us within. Loosen the bindings. Disfigure your shell. Take what you seek. Come and join us in hell. End poem. Okay, and Rex, do you want to lead the way on this?
Yes. This is for the true angle of those who wish to delve within. The idea of offering up something and telling the person, shed not your dereliction and you will understand that note to you will be awoken. Go, you shall be enthroned. Come, you will join us in hell. So the idea is not offering up the promise of anything except if you keep your derelict views, you will ascend and join us as part of this configuration, and you shall have everything your corrupt individuality wishes once you've entered with us.
Great comment there, Rex. Pam, what did you think?
Oh, this is great. Wonderful rhyme, powerful, dark imagery. I like how it speaks on getting the answer to what you want to, and what you want is that physical pleasure of pain. And I particularly like, come, flee that derelict skin, unlock the box, and you'll find us within. Loosen the bindings. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Thank you for that, Pam. And Stelina, your thoughts?
Yeah, first of all, great great read. I'm getting my tongue in a twist there. So yeah, a wonderful read, and I'm going to keep it very short so we can maybe fit another one in. I did like the one word breaks. You know, you go come, and inhale. Sectioning each aspect in formation, like each one was like a mini poem by themselves. You know, and a very interesting take on the theme. Some great lines, as all of you have mentioned, and imagery. It's very graphic and gory. And two little lines I loved, drink of its marrow, chew through the bone. Really, dark. And I thought this was an excellent write by Nicholas. Very well done indeed.
Great comments, Lena. And Weaver, could you share your thoughts, please?
Yes. Is Nicholas quite new to LNP?
I believe he is.
I had a lovely conversation with him last week, and Jim is a nice guy, a gentle guy.
He's been on the boards a couple of times, Katie, I think.
Yes, yeah. He has, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, as I say, he's a lovely guy. But I thought this was great. Find a cure to a seed, the box it pursues you, surrender and bleed. Yes, very good. Thank you, Nicholas.
Thank you for that, Katie. And Laurent, your thoughts?
Yeah, I could see why you were so impressed when you wanted to read this particular piece. You know, like a fine chef who takes all the elements of a wonderful dish and takes the time to stir it properly at the right temperature and condense it all down to a wonderful broth. That's exactly what he's done here with his write. There are certain lines that really exemplify exactly what the message of this is. The avarice pleads the raft of our fruits. We claim your flesh broken. Drink of its marrow, chew through the bone, shed the edema to join us enthroned. And then the disfigure your shell. Take what you seek. It asks for a corruption of the soul, not only the soul, but a corruption of the flesh, yielding to that that voice, that secret desire that lives within us, personified in these wonderful words. Given the movie and its length and what everyone has to say, this is just such a skillful brevity. It's beyond excellent.
Thank you, Lauren. I've got to say, I really enjoyed this. I've read some of Nick's work recently on his profile, and I must confess, I'm impressed. He's a very talented dark writer and definitely one to watch out for. Not only has he skillfully captured the brooding menace of the film, but I love the way he's turned this into something that reads like a soliloquy of a pinhead. The dark imagery is palpable, brilliant rhyming and flow, and what a peach of a final stanza. Come, flee that derelict skin, unlock the box, and you'll find us within. Loosen the bindings, disfigure your shell, take what you seek. Come and join us in hell. That could almost be an intro to our show. I have to bear that one in mind. Brilliant writing, great diction throughout. Nick's clearly a wordsmith and a very talented writer. So absolutely love it. Well done, Nick.
Yeah, well done, Nick. I liked it too.
Yeah, I think we're going to be, unless we've got something that's really short.
Well, we have actually got something that's tiny.
Okay.
And
you guys
I'll
have like a whole 9 minutes, plus it's okay if you go a little over. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Pam.
Okay, well, I'll do this one now. It's very short. And I'll read it. It's called Your Flesh by John Nakapalo. Don't know if that's a Hawaiian. Looks Hawaiian. Okay. So here we go. Your Flesh. As canvas, your pain. As palette, scalpel, as line a brush, still life. With this, memento mori. End poem.
Very nicely read there, Stelina. Thank you for that.
Short and sweet.
Brilliant. Love it. Pam, your thoughts?
You know, I really like John Nakapola's brevities, especially the way the titles always lead into into the poem themselves. And I like how this is almost a celebration of death and the physical, the flesh. And I particularly like scalpel as liner brush, still life. You know, wonderful lines. Still life is such a perfect phrase for an examination of death, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Rex, what were your thoughts?
Offers up a singular notion. This is a painting, a drawn out, so to speak. Canvas, your pain, the palette, scalpel, line of brush, still life with this. Now, he's offering up, he's painted the picture. The memento mori is that memory and death, which he now has in front of him on a physical board, which he can now relish. But he's done it through using your flesh as the medium in which to delve.
Thank you for that, Rex. Great observations. Weaver, how did this one go down with you?
Oh, it was great. I love it. I do like brevity so much. You've got to be very on the game to get everything you want into so few words, and this did it. I like as palette, scalpel, as liner brush, still life. It was just very clever. And very well done. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you for that, Weaver. And Stelina, you read it. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with Katie on this. I admire brevity writers because to get everything in those few words is quite an achievement. And I thought John did a wonderful job with it. It was very short, but it packed a punch, you know. His choice of words were very effective, and it was concise, yet it carried a heavy meaning. I thought it was very cleverly done. So well done, John. Yeah.
I absolutely agree with everything that you just said there. And I also agree. I mean, brevity is not really my bag, because I'm not skilled enough to be able to condense everything down so concisely.
You have too much to say, darling.
Not really. I would like to say that I find this to be a concise slice of dark brevity. Wonderful metaphoric use of how we wear our pain. Painted, he uses the reference painted in the folds and creases of our wrinkled brows, there for all to see, yet only felt by the painter of each portrait. Each scar of pain becomes a keepsake and reminder of choices and paths taken on a meandering march through life into the beyond. And I think that's beautifully expressed and written by John here. Very well done. So, are we going to be able to squeeze in? I think we might have had quite a shortish one in there somewhere by... Where are we? Bill Schiller.
Bill? Okay. Yeah, we've got a couple, I think. We've got Bill and Robin, Sector Hunter, as well.
Okay, I'll leave the choice to you, Stelina. You take the pick.
I think Sector Hunters might be a little bit shorter. Anyway.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Go with that.
Hold on. I've lost everything. Wait a second. Oh, I've got it back. No problem. No problem. It had to happen. There we go. Off you go.
Okay. And on this one, Katie, would you like to read this one?
Katie's gone, darling.
Oh, she's gone, actually. Okay, Pam, yeah. Would you like to read it?
No, I haven't gone.
Oh, Katie hasn't gone. Right.
No.
Elvis hasn't left the building yet.
Oh,
Katie.
Sorry. Today, hopefully you will rest well. I thought you'd gone.
I mean,
Katie,
I can if you want me to.
No. We don't want you to go.
Take it away. Take it away. Come on.
Okay. So I'm reading, I'm reading What Fun, yeah? Yeah. Oh, child, what have you done wanting to feel pleasures behind measures on what fun we will have? Lay with me, letting lips enclose hardened member, barbed wire teeth, racking skin slowly. Oh, just enjoy, you little toy. Close your eyes and relax as chains circle and start tearing flesh. Streams of horror fill the air. Oh, it is far too late to run, skin torn from muscles as blood drains down my throat. I have broken my new plaything. What a waste. Oh, excuse me. I've just got an open office thing in front of my eyes. But what fun was that? End poem.
Thank you for that, Katie.
Oh, my goodness. Ay, ay, ay.
Stelina, thoughts?
Okay, very quickly. It's a great write, first of all. I like Sector Hunter's work. The title reminded me a bit of Miranda Hart, though. You know, what fun. But anyway, graphic and visceral, imbibes the core of the story, written with style, strong emotion in the lines. Excellent write. Well done, Robin.
Nicely put together. And Rex, your thoughts?
It is graphic and visual, and it is solely designed to give both pleasure and pain. Pleasure for the woman enjoying and pain for the man who has now been baptized.
Thank you for that. And Lauren?
Lauren's had to go.
Lauren's gone.
Oh, okay. In that case, I would like to say, to add on this, great imagination and imagery from Sector Hunter that captures the mindset of the Cenobites off to a T. But what fun was had. The destruction was inevitable. It was just a question of how much pain could be endured before the threshold is crossed. The more the merrier for the entertainment of the Cenobites. Beautifully put, beautifully written, thoroughly enjoyed it, and encapsulated the essence of Hellraiser off to a T. Great writing there, Sector Hunter.
So on that note, I think it's time for us to bow into the darkness again and to join the shadows. Thank you to everybody that contributed towards the contest and all your rights. Thank you to all the people that joined us on tonight's show with the comments. It was brilliant having you all on board for our first show.
Royalty we had tonight with us. Royalty.
Absolutely, yes.
Wonderful. Thank you all for your support. We really appreciate it.
Deeply honoured, deeply honoured. Thank you, everyone. And we look forward to catching some of you, hopefully, on the next show. So until then, I'm going to let my coffin creak closed, and I will leave Stelina to just say good evening to you all. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye. Good morning. Good night, wherever you may be.
Thank you, Arcana. Yeah, I have to thank you all again for your support and for all the wonderful poets that wrote for us.
Any poem that didn't feature on tonight's show, people.
Yeah, they'll be carried over. I've got them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, everyone. So good night. God bless you all. Thank you for joining us.
Good night. Yeah.